Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, 5th of October, 2022 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. Background to that news, we've got sport and business, Sea Watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person. Tonight in Hour 18 of Stoptober Day 5, the electricity price could go back up next April. The visitor season's been extended into the winter. A dog's been attacked by a bird of prey in Governor's Hill. We have still no known cases of monkeypox on the Isle of Man. And do we have a Manx boy crisis here?
Man Benham, for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Pastor Mike, Rob Pritchard.
Pastor Mike, the island's interim director of public health has confirmed there are still no known cases of monkeypox on the Isle of Man. Professor Hugo van Worden says new cases of the virus in the UK are falling, which is encouraging. The decision to put two head teachers in charge of five schools will not impact on wider leadership development within the profession. That's the view of Adrian Shorthouse, who will be in charge of two primary schools from January. Two Manx police officers who took part in one of the biggest undertakings in the world, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II's funeral, say it's a moment they will never forget. Sergeant Barry Hand and PC Ali Thompson volunteered to represent the Isle of Man in London. In international news, Liz Truss has been heckled during her party conference speech, in which she warns of stormy days ahead. The UK Prime Minister, who insists she'll get Britain through the tempest, was interrupted by protesters opposed to fracking. The husband of Helena Hutchins, who died on the set of Alec Baldwin's movie Rust, has announced he'll take over as executive producer ahead of filming restarting in January. Matthew Hutchins has reached a settlement with the actor, who was holding a gun when it went off last year. And the Irish Foreign Minister says the UK and EU will have talks this week about resolving issues with the Northern Ireland Protocol. Simon Coveney says the mood music from the British government over the post-Brexit trade arrangement has changed. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you, Rob. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, there's a strong wind warning for the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours. State of sea is moderate or rough. And the weather this evening, blustery showers on a fresh to strong west-southwesterly wind. Still some late sunshine knocking around too. The overnight minimum is 11 Celsius. For tomorrow, Thursday, Jerdain, a dry and bright start. Cloudy in the afternoon with a strong southwesterly. Top temperature 16 Celsius. Some intermittent rain after dark Thursday evening and through the night too. Into Friday, down to 10 Celsius. Jahenya showers first thing, becoming isolated and a strong west-southwesterly. Highest is 15 degrees. The sun sets this evening at 14 minutes before 7, so it's getting dark about a quarter past. High water 6 minutes to 9, low water overnight 24 minutes past 3, sunrise 28 minutes past 7, and the morning high tide 28 minutes past 9.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and see a range of products from windows to doors, mirrors to splashbacks. Manxglass.com.
Electricity costs could go up next year once the current cap on prices ends at the start of April 2023. The warning from the Manx Utilities Chair, Tim Johnston, MHK, who says they're keeping an eye on the concerns of gas and electricity shortages in the UK.
It's an incredibly volatile market at the moment. On a day-to-day basis, it's swinging wildly, the gas price. All I can say to you is my crystal ball is a bit cloudy at the moment, but I think coming the new year, we'll be looking very closely, wanting to see where markets are. But yeah, ultimately, from the 1st of April, we are potentially going to be seeing a tariff increase. What that will be, we honestly don't know at this stage.
Is there concerns maybe that prices are being pulled back like a slingshot at the moment, that they might just become completely untenable for residents?
Yeah, it's a concern for all of us. I mean, this global uncertainty is hitting everything across our whole economy. And like you say, this is a global issue, whether it's food, whether it's electricity, cost of living generally. So, you know, there's some really big challenges. So what this does, this price cap gives us a six-month period to be able to, for businesses, for the individuals over the, you know, those expensive months of those dark months of winter, to know where they stand, where they can budget as far as electricity price is concerned, and hopefully, you know, look to take advantage of some of the other schemes that government have launched on efficiencies and improving, helping the cost of living and using power.
There are concerns in the UK of potential gas shortages going into the winter, which in turn might have a knock-on effect on electricity supplies. What's the situation with that here on the Isle of Man?
Well, it's, again, it's something we're monitoring. It is a concern. We use a lot of gas for our electricity production through the gas pipeline. But we also have alternatives. We have our backup systems on Ireland, our diesel backups, which can cover as well. So I'm confident that we have the structures in place to provide and continue to do what the MUA actually done an excellent job of for many years, which is to provide, you know, a really high level of reliability.
Visit Isle of Man's announced they're extending the visitor season into the autumn and winter this year in the hopes they'll be able to capture a share of the increasing demand for off-peak short breaks. Lindsay Clegg is from Manx National Heritage, and she says the Isle of Man can absolutely compete with UK destinations.
There's nowhere else in the world like the Isle of Man. There's nowhere else in the world. You can see the stunning crimson sunsets overlooking Peel Castle, stroke a Manx cap, climb the world's largest working water wheel. Our island is amazing and we really encourage people to visit.
Why then extend the tourist season this autumn and winter?
And there's a huge opportunity within the marketplace, particularly as the British travel industry is now seeing increased demand for off-peak UK short breaks. And one of the key ways in which the Isle of Man can capture a share of that market is to enhance the visitor offering into the low season. So something Manx National Heritage is very happy to support by opening our doors until the end of November.
Obviously, any increase in tourists wanting to visit heritage sites could potentially create more revenue for the island's businesses during the quiet season. Michael George is joint proprietor of the Welbeck Hotel in Douglas.
I'm hoping it's going to impact us in a very positive way. I'm delighted that they're trying to do this. The fact that they're keeping the heritage sites open and the railways, it's very exciting, and just hope that we can generate the amount of business to come over. The likes of the Lake District, I don't think has as much to offer as us, certainly indoors. And I just hope that it all works and that we can carry on and go from strength to strength. As I say, the travelling to the Isle of Man, that's going to be very important, that the people can actually get a good deal to get over here. Otherwise, they won't come because they can't just hop in the car like they can to get to the Lake District. I feel that that can be the only difference between us because, as I alluded to before, I think if the weather's particularly poor, I think we have so much more to offer.
If you have a news story for Manx Radio to investigate and report, email newsroom@manxradio.com or call 682 631 any time of day or night.
The Isle of Man's Interim Director of Public Health confirmed there are still no known cases of monkeypox on the island. Also, here, Professor Hugo van Werden explained how the health body is also looking to keep track of the spread of COVID-19 this winter.
We do recommend that visitors and residents are aware of the symptoms which are outlined on our website. Be safe and contact the GM clinic on 650710 if they suspect that they have any symptoms or they're concerned or if they think that they've been exposed in any way to the virus. The number of new cases of monkeypox in the UK is falling, which is also encouraging and suggests that the measures that have been taken are getting on top of the epidemic that has happened. In terms of monkeypox vaccines, Manx Care have given a first dose of the vaccine to approximately 30 people on the Isle of Man who were considered at risk of catching the disease. Moving on to the question of winter surveillance plans. Our weekly surveillance reports were paused when the free COVID testing came to an end on the island on the 19th of August. But we now have our website up and running, covering acute respiratory infections, and we're aiming to update that page each week. We're also hoping to add information to the webpage as we get more sources of data. At the moment, we're focusing on the number of patients that are seen in general practice with a respiratory infection. And over time, we may be able to gather more information on specific types of infection, including influenza and respiratory syncytial virus, as well as COVID-19. Many people will be aware of the pilot work that was done with the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine on testing wastewater, and we have an agreement with them to continue working together to undertake testing of wastewater for particularly for COVID, but hopefully also for other respiratory and viral pathogens.
The decision to put just two head teachers in charge of five schools will not impact on the wider leadership development within the profession. According to one of the heads, Adrian Shorthouse, will be in charge of two primary schools from January next year.
I think that there's some confusion over the role itself, and that there's some misconception that we're stifling capacity of leadership over here. It's quite the opposite. If people look into a similar role across, if people look at executive headship, it is different, though, the way that the department have forged this particular role over here. It is very different in that the head of more than one school is concerned with three main priorities, really. It's about setting direction, developing people, and improving organisational effectiveness. And what it helps to do is build leadership capacity. So the deputies of the schools will actually be in charge of the day-to-day management of the school. Of course, they'll be involved in the strategic planning for improvement within the school, but they will step up and take ownership of the day-to-day running of the school.
And a big thing from the department as well is this isn't a cost-cutting measure. This money's being reinvested into schools. So where do you sort of see that money being reinvested on the ground?
It's cost neutral. Any money that's saved by, you know, through a head teacher's salary is given straight back to the schools to meet, you know, to then administer as part of the budget. As has happened in other schools that's got a head of more than one school, is that money goes to enabling the deputy heads to be released from the classroom to fulfil the role that I've described. So the money is basically funding that release.
Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Motorship Ben McCrew departed Heesham at 13 minutes past 2. She's chugging along and won't be along on the Isle of Man until about 20 past 6 this evening. And it's slow. Departing this evening at 7.45, arriving in Heesham at 11:30 tonight. Departing early overnight, 1.45, arriving in Douglas at 5:30. Tomorrow morning's departure is 8.45, Ben McCrew for Heesham. And the afternoon departure is 3 o'clock, Mananan to Liverpool.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
There's a warning to pet owners in Governors Hill after an elderly dog was attacked in the garden of her home by a bird of prey. Jess, a 17-year-old miniature Bichon poodle who's deaf and has poor eyesight, needed treatment after sustaining several puncture wounds. Her owner, Diane Gale, has been talking to Manx Radio's Simon Richardson.
She's getting much better now. She's been to the vet quite a few times, had to have injections. But yeah, she's on the mend now. It attacked her twice on two separate occasions.
First of all, I think the first time it happened, nobody was there at the time in your garden, and it was just assumed when the injuries were discovered that it was possibly long tails or something like that. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's what we thought. We had pest control out, and we had them there for quite a while, and then we found out it was that just when it kind of swooped down on me, if you like, when I took her out.
It must have been pretty terrifying.
Yeah, it was really scary.
To put it in perspective, your little dog is 17 and has poor eyesight and is deaf. That is something that you are constantly then worrying about every time you step outside the door.
Oh, yes, it's awful. I have to go out with her every night now and keep an eye out.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
It's 16 minutes before 6 on Manx Radio. This is update. Virgin Atlantic's pulling out of Hong Kong, scrapping flights and shutting its offices as COVID restrictions batter the island's status as a global financial hub. Ending 3 decades flying to Hong Kong, Sir Richard Branson's airline blamed the closure of Russian airspace as well as the declining profitability of the route. Many airlines have temporarily suspended flights to Hong Kong after the region left hotel quarantine quarantines in place for overseas visitors. Restrictions were finally lifted last week. For a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookhall.com. The European Commission's proposed new rules to help consumers and companies harmed by faulty products using artificial intelligence software, such as drones, robots and other digital devices. The EU's AI Liability Directive would lighten the burden of proof on people suing over incidents with such items that were caused by an error of the manufacturers, developers or users. Currently, it's difficult for victims to prove their case, since it requires figuring out exactly how the AI software works. In the future, where there is at least some probability that the AI software contributed to the harm, courts can presume that the entity using it is responsible.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookhall.
UK and European stocks closed sharply higher, building on gains seen in yesterday's trading session. US stocks fell as Wall Street receded from a sharp two-day rally. Oil rose and gold slipped more than 1%, weighed down by an uptick in the dollar. The numbers now from Ramsey Crookhall. The FTSE 100 closed down 0.5% in London at 7,052. The DAX in Frankfurt down 1.2% at 12,570. Currently, the Dow Jones Industrial is down just over 1% at 30,001. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 1.9% at 10,969. It's all red. The S&P 500 down 1.3% at 3,740. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling trading at $1.12.8 and €1.14.2. In commodities, gold's down 0.9% at $1,709 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up almost 1.9% at $93.41.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsey Crookhall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, well, the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsey Crookhall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookhall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source. And Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
A play expert on the Isle of Man's warning, we're facing a Manx boy crisis where some boys are struggling with things like behaviour, development and social skills. Isle of Play chief exec Chris Gregory says the charity is dealing with a number of referrals for one-to-one support and warns there's no easy fix.
It's difficult, and I think that because the facilities aren't there and the attitudes aren't there to provide opportunity for those boys that are struggling, and you want to adjust things before the boys are struggling, and the only way that that's going to happen is by, you know, changing the way that we deliver education, the way that our communities are set up. You know, the decline of children's play is key to this, and this is kind of where, you know, I'm coming from. You know, since the 1950s, 60s, the average roaming distance for boys and girls for an 8-year-old would have been 6 miles in any direction on their own without a parent. We're now at the point where 8-year-olds are very rarely leaving the threshold of their own home without having a parent with them, and that's having an adverse impact on children as well. So over the summer we ran a program called Street Play, and we closed off a couple of streets. It was just a pilot project to see how it would work, and it was amazing. We had 30 children came out on a street that does have children playing out on it, but within those children there were children that had never been outside and played on the street on both the streets that we ran this on. And so it gave children an opportunity just to come outside to play, to mix with other children, to rough and tumble play, to race bikes up and down and burn off all that excess energy to socialise. And the one big thing that is play's key for, it's about developing social competence and become socially active and capable people within the environment that those children are growing up in. And so if you don't get that right, well, how on earth do you expect them to sit down and to learn and to do anything else?
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, good evening. Starting with netball, and the Isle of Man has named its squad for the European Netball World Cup qualifiers this month. 12 players, along with 3 reserves, will represent the Manx Rams as they battle for a spot at the 2023 Netball World Cup, which will take place in Cape Town, South Africa. Ashley Hall will captain the Ireland squad, with Rachel Johnston taking up the role of vice-captain. Meanwhile, the qualifiers will be held from the 12th to the 16th of October at the Emirates Arena in Glasgow in Scotland. As part of that, the Isle of Man will come up against Scotland, Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland, Wales and Gibraltar. The top two sides at the end of the qualifiers will proceed to the World Cup next year. The full Isle of Man team to travel to Glasgow is listed on manxradio.com. In football, FC Isle of Man ended their seven-match run without a league win with a stunning comeback against Burscough last night in the NWCFL Premier Division. After trailing 4-2 at half-time, the Ravens fought back to secure a 7-4 victory at the Community Ground. Luke Murray bagged a brace for the Manx side, whilst Carl Clark, Charlie Higgins, Steve Whitley, Tom Creer and Lewis Roberts all got a goal apiece. The win, their first in the NWCFL Premier Division since August, leaves them 17th in the table. The Ravens' next game sees them take on Padiham at the Bowl this Saturday. And in cricket, the first ever Isle of Man Women's National Cricket Squad has been announced. 20 players have been selected for the IOMCA Women's National Team for 2022-2023. It's after trials for the debut squad took place at King William's College back on the 14th of September. A further 14-player squad will be announced soon, which will then make its debut in the multi-nation T20I tournament in Spain from the 10th to the 15th of November at Desert Springs. The competition will see the island involved alongside the likes of Spain, Sweden and Italy. A full squad list can be found on the Manx Radio website.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way, the 22-8 EasyJet from Bristol is going to be an hour late at 20-9. Then inbound, it's the 5-8 Loganair from Liverpool, returning patient transfer plane. The 8:05 Loganair from London City, showing on time. And inbound at 9:25 EasyJet from Gatwick, showing on time. As far as departures go, we've got the 6 o'clock Loganair patient transfer plane to Liverpool on time. Obviously, that EasyJet 8:10 back to Bristol won't be going till about, they hope, 8:40 tonight. And then it's the 9:05 EasyJet back to London Gatwick. On the roads, two sets of temporary lights on the TT course between Bagarrow and Kirkmichael, one for electricity work, the other for drainage work. Temporary lights on Whitebridge Road, Oncombe, between Ballycrink Drive and Windermere Drive for gas main repairs. Still those temporary lights on that roundabout in Ballasella by the new housing estate. They reckon it'll be wrapped up by the 17th of this month. In Castletown, Castle Street's one way northbound for building work, and still in Peel, temporary closures around East Quay and the Prom. Currently the Prom's closed between the Manx Utilities pumping station and Weatherglass Corner. They're doing work on road surfaces and pavement. Temporary lights on the Strang Road Union Mills for drainage work, and temporary lights on the main road west of Ballalease Bridge, St John's, for patching work and hedge trimming. Still got those temporary lights on the Jerby Road between Ramsey and St Jude's for resurfacing.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
It's hoped two parrots at the Currocks Wildlife Park, who originate from a critically endangered species usually found in the Amazon rainforests of Ecuador, could soon be parents on the island. A brand new aviary's been built for Lila and Chester by supporters of the park, and we sent Manx Radio's John Moss to find out more.
We're actually going to go in there, aren't we?
We are. Now, they're snuggled up in their nest box at the moment, because it's kind of cool.
Kim Etherton of the supporters of the wildlife park.
It's important they have the right ambience.
Absolutely.
They have a big enough aviary, a big enough enclosure to encourage them to do the deed.
Putting a male and female together is absolutely no guarantee of breeding in any zoo, but we're doing our best. She could live to be 50, okay? So there's every chance, and they seem to be getting on really well, which is the critical thing, because if they'd fought tooth and beak ever since they arrived, that would be a disaster, but they're doing okay.
I decided to improve the ambience for the two lovebirds.
So here we go, we're inside the enclosure. Trees and the high roof, fairly high roof of the enclosure. It's been put together, and that's where they are in there, is it?
Yeah.
There comes one.
Now,
do you know which one that is?
You can't tell the sexes apart, so it's based on behaviour, which we'd have to spend a lot of time observing.
Excuse me, what do you reckon then? Do you think that the chances are good? Back and forth, and is it important they're both in the same nest box? Because it's very difficult for them to procreate if they're in different nest boxes.
it's equally important to give them their own space.
Oh, right.
You know, because they are having to form a new bond. Oh, actually, look, she's just in the corner looking at us.
Oh, right. Hello. I tried asking Chester a few questions, but he only speaks Ecuadorian, a language I have yet to master. It's hoped that a clutch of 2 to 4 eggs will be along in due course, perhaps in the spring. Another reason to love parrots in the springtime.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Two Manx police officers who took part in one of the biggest undertakings in the world, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II's Lord of Man's funeral, say it's a moment in time they'll never forget. Sergeant Barry Hand and PC Ali Thompson volunteered to represent the island in London. Their duties included helping with road closures around Whitehall while the Queen's coffin was transported to Westminster and helping the public outside Buckingham Palace.
I woke up on the Tuesday morning and just thought, oh my God, what have I volunteered to do?
So you did have to put yourselves forward for
it. Yes. I genuinely thought, why have I done that? But it was just the best. It was the best experience ever. Nothing I'll ever experience again in my career.
If there was one image that either of you will keep returning to, so it, you know, when we're talking about this now, what is the one image of that experience that comes to your mind, Barry?
For me, it was the amount of people that were there. You know, there were thousands and thousands of people that descended onto London, and every single one of them was there with the same purpose, and that was to just give respect to the Queen and her lifelong service. And it was just amazing to see a whole nation come together like that, and literally happening right in front of you. I'm not ashamed to say that I stood there and I cried. And I cried with the members of the public that were stood in front of me. And there was one particular young girl who was there with her family. And she was there with a sister and a mum and dad. And she'd start crying and she'd set me off. And then I'd start crying and I'd set her off. And it was just amazing. It was a truly, truly amazing experience.
Oh, fantastic. What about you, Ellie?
It was the people. The people I met. We had loads of people coming to talk to us. When we were outside Buckingham Palace, we were sort of, like I said before, giving directions. We actually had one family come up to us, saw the hat, saw the three legs. You're from the Isle of Man. My dad's just flown to the Isle of Man tonight to go to the motorsport event that was on that weekend. It's like, of all the people he could have spoken to, he spoke to us. So it was the stories that people were talking to us about. It was amazing, amazing.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Rob Pritchard, producer Rhiann Evans. Stick around. Spotlight with Howie Kane is on after the news at 6 o'clock. Update returns tomorrow at 5:30.
WINT.